from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. My name is Jacob Fortan. Today on the show, it's kind of a state of the nation episode, I guess you could say. Although we're not a nation and these kinds of shows are highly irregular, I think it's kind of important since a lot of people have been asking me, Jacob, what's happening? What's going on with the book? What's going on with the podcast? Yada, yada, yada. Okay, so I figured there's a couple of ways that I can try to reach you guys. I mean, the first way is I can try to write an article, but odds are most of you don't read that, so that would be a giant waste of time, even though I'll probably be following this podcast with exactly what I'm just talking about. Yeah, so written thing. So that's one way I need to communicate with you guys, and then there's the fan page on Facebook, and then there's the Twitter followers, and then there's the people who just read the blog. Yeah, so there's a bunch of people here, but for the most part, all of you are distributed in a fairly concentrated little area of listeners to the podcast. So, yeah, the best way to communicate with you all is to just go ahead and do a show. Now, that actually, as many of you would be probably surprised to know, is a little bit harder than it seems. And I think this is why we need to do a bit of a State of the Nation episode. So you guys can have an appreciation and understanding of what's going on before I make any big announcements or whatever about what's happening. So first and foremost, recording this episode. Now, why was that difficult? Well, some of you may remember my equipment had broken down. So that means my professional microphone had stopped working, and the USBs of my ports of my computer had stopped working. Basically, a lot of the equipment that I've been using over the years in order to be able to do the shows just stopped working. And all of a sudden, you're like, well, I can't do anything else right now. So the solution has been to do no shows. Yeah, I know that's not much of a solution, but at the same time, I'm like, what are you going to do, right? So this presented itself kind of a problem because I'm not quite done podcasting, if you know what I mean. You know, like I swear to God, everybody around me is getting fucking sick and tired of having to listen to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, another rant. Well, once upon a time, I used to go on my show and then I'd just do these types of rants, and most of the people around me, my loved ones, would be mostly spared. Though, you know, not entirely spared of these kinds of monologues. But yeah, no, without doing a show, now everybody around me is, you know, pretty much has to free up their schedules just to make up for my monologuing. And that's got to stop. So I still want to make podcasts, but obviously there are certain kinds of physical realities. Now, probably some of you out there are like, well, why don't you get a new microphone? Or why don't you get a new computer? Or all of these kinds of, you know, fairly... These sound easy, right, to solve. You're just like, well, fix this. Well, the problem is that that's not possible. Like, I am, as of now, completely fucking broke. Well, you know, I may have a few dollars here and there, but the entire book advance has, since my move back from Calgary after the breakup with Calgary, after the breakup with Carissa, those monies are now gone. And that means that I can't just up and fix this equipment, especially considering the fact that, you know, I have had this book commitment that I've been, you know, serious about and trying to finish. So there's a bit of a kind of, I don't know, I've been stuck in a bit of a weird place here because, number one, the podcasts themselves are often a source of revenue for me. I mean, most of the people who are part of the 300 are, you know, continue to pay because the assumption was you're going to keep doing shows, right? Well, as of right now, that hasn't been really easy to fulfill, and lots of 300 confused by what's been going on, have been canceling, which I can't really blame them, and especially considering some people actually messaged me personally saying, like, yeah, you know, the economic downturn has hit me for the worst. And, I mean, I pay attention to American news. I mean, I know how bad it is for you guys out there. Don't Don't think I don't empathize with all of you. I mean, especially considering the fact that America is my market, and you guys are just getting poorer and poorer. I mean, I may be getting super dirt poor, but, I mean, I'm witnessing many of the people around me having the exact same fate. So this is not an isolated incident. And it makes what I do, well, let's just say a little bit harder. And the other reason I've kind of been hesitant to do atheism podcast is for, in a way, I wanted to kind of step away from atheism in general. I mean, you guys know that. I was looking for someone to fulfill the role of the new good atheist, if you want. And while it's, you know, while I'm optimistic that maybe somebody is really going to try to pick up that mantle, at the same time, I'm like, well, maybe the problem is if they take it, they might not be able to carve their own identity, and maybe it is better for them to start on their own. I'm not sure, you know, like, these are things that people have to figure out on their own, and maybe the best thing to do is to just leave it as is, make the shows more accessible for everybody so that they can hear it, and, you know, pretty much move on. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop podcasting, but if I'm going to podcast from now on, I want to podcast as Jacob Forte. I don't want to podcast as the good atheist. I mean, number one, the topics that I want to cover aren't necessarily related to atheism. And while I know that a lot of my core audience are atheists, I would probably say, oh, I don't know, 100%. Well, I mean, at the same time, some of the other interests that I have, many of you might actually also share. So the move away from the good atheist, if you want, is to transition eventually into another podcast. This would be the, well, I don't have a name for it yet, because to be honest with you, the Jacob Fortan podcast, you know what, it's a bit too simple. I don't like it. It doesn't stick in your head. People always mispronounce my name anyways, so the last thing I want to hear is some fucking, you know, some butchering of the fucking, no. I mean, I'm no Stephen Colbert. I can't make people pronounce my name properly. That's not happening. But in any case, I do want that to happen. Although, like I said before, I mean, certain financial constraints, like real ones, have sort of popped up. Now, the reason these constraints are so huge is because I've been trying to finish the book by the deadline, the arbitrary deadline that I had set when I first started the campaign. And to be truthful, while I'm actually pretty fucking close to finishing, there's something quite horrible that happened a few days ago, which has since made me be like, okay, we need to fucking rethink our whole schedule and what's being released when and that kind of stuff. So let me give you a little story about the horrible thing that happened so you guys can kind of understand and empathize a little bit. So, as many of you know, when I guess in the month of January, I think, this is when Carissa and I, who had been living together in Calgary in a very relatively small place, we decided to end our relationship, and I decided to move back to the East Coast so I could be close to my family and my friends. And you know, it was difficult for me to be halfway across the world with not enough money to visit them, hadn't seen them in a long time, and even my nephew, who had been born May of last year, I wasn't really being able to get a relationship. I hadn't even met him in person. And these kinds of things, you know, I don't think you realize until they're no longer a problem how much they affect your mood and all these other kinds of things. So while it was painful, I mean, the breakup was unbelievably painful, and, you know, obviously I don't want to get into it because that's just, I mean, even then it would be like, pouring salt on the wound. I mean, like, there's still so many parts of me that feel, I don't know, like, I guess it's difficult to say. I mean, I think anybody out there who's ever really loved someone and then all of a sudden the relationship slowly degrades, if you want, and then it just over, will tell you that it's, you know, there's parts of you that just kind of like, can I go back in a time machine and solve a few problems and things like that? I mean, you know, you always have that thought in your mind, but the reality of the situation is you need to move on. And unfortunately for me, moving on meant that even the cost of getting out of Calgary was pretty substantial. I mean, I even incurred some debts with some friends just to be able to afford the ticket. I mean, a last minute ticket across Canada, I got news for you. It's like pretty fucking expensive. In any case, that had eaten up the majority of what had been left, and while I was getting, while I do get some side income from the 300, as I mentioned before, there had been a lot of people that, you know, as the show have not been produced and stuff like that, have stopped become contributors. I mean, I'm not going to blame them. And so that's been kind of like another pressure. But I've been spending almost, you know, every waking hour writing the book. And I think I had severely underestimated how large the Bible is. Maybe it's because I hadn't quite finished reading it when I made the proposal, because I think that I would have probably picked a much different time frame. I mean, for starters, you know, the Old Testament itself is something like 300,000 words, which I did not know. And the, you know, perhaps the you know, this is my personality or whatever, but when I really started to actually write the book, I didn't want to just write summaries, which was the way that the Bible Stories podcast had basically played out. They were really hilarious summaries of the stories, but I missed a lot of details, and sometimes I got details wrong, and I didn't really want that in the book. I didn't want any of the criticisms to be like, oh, you got this really obnoxious detail wrong. So as time went on and I was writing the book, and this is by the time I leave Calgary, and this is in January, I had really nowhere to go and not enough money to get an apartment or anything else like that. So I stayed with a friend in Toronto who has a fairly large house, and we've known each other for, I don't know, 20 years or something fucking crazy. So I stayed there, and I continued to work on the book, but by then what I thought was a continuing the work was actually really what the book ended up being, where I started tackling it paragraph by paragraph. I really decided that I was going to rewrite the Bible, make it the Jacob Bible, you know what I mean? Like, if I had to make this story interesting on almost all details, how would I do it? And I really took that challenge, and it wasn't just a matter of writing, it was also a matter of research and just trying to make a story that it can at times be a snooze fest into something that can be interesting. That is a surprising challenge, ladies and gentlemen. But all in all, I think that this trial by fire, if you want, has taught me a lot of lessons, especially lessons about writing and what makes writing good writing, what makes bad writing. And I think it just comes from editing the Bible. I mean, seriously, you're trying to edit this volume that no one can get through this thing. And my goal is to say, like, no, I want you to read up until the end. I want you to read Jeremiah and Nehemiah and all the, you know, lesser prophets and Esther. And I want you to actually remember all the details. But that's a significant challenge, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, because, again, the stories may not always seem that fascinating. I mean, particularly when we live in an age in which, you know, maybe it's just me, a jaded moviegoer, where there needs to be an explosion every 5 minutes, or apparently I'm going to be looking elsewhere. I don't know what. But the Bible is, it chooses weird things to be detailed about and some surprising things to be very vague about. So it was my job to try to make every single fucking paragraph work. But again, I mean, it's a significant challenge, and it was a pretty huge workload. And to be truthful, I mean, while you can stay at a friend's and that might seem all good, there are certain aspects of doing something like that, of living that kind of lifestyle, that begin to grate at you and start to affect you psychologically, if you want, you know. For me, I think one of the ways that it's done this vagabond lifestyle, because, you know, while I spent some time at Quays, I think that was 2 months, eventually I realized that Toronto was not really the place for me. I wasn't quite happy there. And instead I moved back to Montreal so I could be around some of my other closer friends and to be closer to my mom as well, who, you know, she's pretty sick. You know, she has a disease called CREST, but it's a sick, CREST is actually an acronym for a number of diseases, including Raynaud's, which is basically, what she suffers from. But in any case, it makes certain things difficult for her. She can't go out when it's really cold and yada, yada, yada. So I thought to myself, well, you know, moving back would give me an opportunity to take care of my mom as well. Although the truth has, you know, is that she's been actually taking care of me. You know, because while I still don't have a place to live, I mean, quite literally, I've been sleeping on her, you know, in her living room. And in exchange, you know, my whole thing is I take care of her and I make sure I do, you know, dishes and try to keep the place clean and also keep my mom company. You know, it can be somewhat, you know, lonely, at times. So it's not actually a bad arrangement, but what that's done to me, I think psychologically, is it's made me a little bit worn out. I don't know if you've ever experienced long periods of time without actually having your own real personal space, but it can make one, you know, sort of like go a little bit batty. And I think that's what sort of like happened to me recently. But I was dealing with it fairly well, at least I thought I was, until the quote-unquote incident that happened recently. Now, the incident involved the part of the book that I find is actually the hardest to do, which are the drawings. I mean, it was a really smart idea, and I managed to get a lot more out of my campaign than I would have normally had. But I've never been a portraitist, and while I'm actually pretty decent at drawing, I got to tell you guys, I fucking hate it. I don't know why. Like, it is a chore. Well, not always. I mean, to be fair, there are times where if I put the pad down and I start fucking drawing and then I get in that zone, then it's all good. You know, I'll do like 3 days of straight drawing. And then after that, I don't want to fucking touch the pad for a little while. So the drawing part has actually been the real challenge for me, and the part that, you know, the discipline of which has been a little bit difficult. But I was managing to kind of, you know, get along, and I had finished a bunch of the important ones. I think part of the reason why I was also hesitant is that I bit off more than I can chew. I had, for the drawing pad, I have this monstrosity, if you will. It was a 18 by, I forget how big it was, but the measurements were actually quite large. The thought was if I drew it fairly large and I shrunk it down, you know, the details would look a lot better and you wouldn't notice any of the faults in the drawing or any of those kinds of things. That was my plan, but that just means you got to do more drawing, right? The drawing pad's bigger, so it's a bit of a significant challenge. But I was on my way to a friend's birthday party a couple of days ago, and I was carrying a bag with cupcakes that my mother and I had made. And, you know, cupcakes are a bit of a delicate thing, and they got frosting or whatever, so I was being real careful. And I was carrying the bag with the drawings, this drawing pad, if you will, with me because I was planning to get it scanned. You know, I was planning to scan the drawing so that I could start piecing together the book. Well, idiot me forgets the fucking pad on the bus. Well, not on the bus, on the metro, excuse me. And I don't even realize it for 2 days because, you know, there's all this other stuff. There's a birthday party, and then the following day, I spent the afternoon fixing up my bike with my friends and, you know, like just biking around, having a fun time. So who remembers that Monday I had planned for myself, oh, I'm going to go scan my drawings and then we're going to be able to, I'll be able to show them to people and there's create fucking buzz and shit. And then I realized that it's gone. And, oh, brother, internally I panicked. I was with friends, though, so they kind of commented on how calm I looked. But all of a sudden, I realized at that point, I'm like, I can't even come close to making this deadline now. And I'm going to be I'm going to have to redraw these. And the biggest thing, too, was that there were some of these drawings where I was so happy with them. Oh, my God. I had really seriously put in the time on those ones and maybe a little bit too much time as I was realizing that I'm like, well, I can't finish this if I spend this much time on each one. But, it's basically a kind of giant kick in the nuts, and it floored me, and it forced me to have to kind of do a state of State of the Union show and say, well, what's going on? And all of a sudden it's kind of like, well, I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's a 6 month elongation to my own time frame. I'm like, I have to redo these drawings. And I realized that part of the reason why I lost this thing is the chaos of my fucking life. And I mean, I will not have my own room up until September Because that's when finally, you know, the place that I've lined up becomes available, and I stop living this, the little is hobo lifestyle, you know what I mean? Like, that I've been pulling for I don't know how long. And this is not even the first time where I've lost this, this vagabond lifestyle. I've lost the sketch pad that I had done the preliminary drawings on as well. And the reason why I'm pretty sure that this drawing pad is gone and never to be seen again is that that sketch pad was never returned to me either. So I don't think anybody has any interest or any real fucking care about returning that sort of stuff to their rightful owner. I mean, when I went over to the metro, or the subway, as you call it in the U.S., and I asked them, I said, well, what are the chances, what do you do with stuff, materials that you find? And they said, well, after 3 weeks, we just either give it to Goodwill or we throw it in the recycling. And I was like, well, what about artwork? And they're like, yeah, that's recycling. I felt like saying, you fucking monsters. I mean, at least you just give it away or something. You're going to throw artwork out because no owner claims it. You're like, well, better no one claim it. That's a fucking travesty. But in any case, that's a completely different thing. But yes, that means that the book is delayed. But there is good news because, you know, normally when in times of adversity, I refuse to let anything fucking totally get me down. I mean, there's already so much of the book completed. I cannot stress this enough. Like, I did a massive chunk. Some days I was writing like 5,000 fucking words a day. I was a beast, but that's all I did. I mean, I wasn't doing the show. I wasn't doing any podcasts. I was just committed to writing and editing and figuring out what the fuck the voice of this book is. Because while that may have seemed obvious to some, it wasn't obvious till I had written about 70 or 80,000 words. And that's kind of a depressing thought when you realize then's got to all be rewritten. Well, you know, that's the part of the book where I'm at now. I'm at the rewriting phase. But I also realized that, you know, let's just say that if it took me 1 week for every chapter of the book, well, unfortunately, that's 20 weeks. You know, that's half a year right there. And that's just from, you know, me rushing this thing, which I can still do. But the problem is now, like I said before, the financial reality of things have kind of struck. And while I was able to overtax my very kind mother and my friends, I'm like, I've reached that terminal limit of how much I can actually really overtax people. Truth is, I don't actually need that much to get back on track. And we're going to see if I can start a Kickstarter once I release, in a few days, the sample chapter of Genesis. So, now this, while this may seem a little bit obvious to everybody, oh, you chose Genesis, you know, that's a little obvious. I wanted to show everybody that I can take a chapter that's fairly familiar to everybody, like familiar stories, and I can re-familiarize yourselves, or all of you, with it. I mean, I don't think you know how detailed I get, but that's because I want all of you who read this book to be the most biblically literate people on the fucking planet. Now, the way I went about this, and I think you're going to see this throughout the book, is I tried to be as truthful to the material as possible, but presented in a way that's characteristically sardonic, sarcastic. You know the fucking deal. I mean, you've heard the Bible Stories podcast, so you know where I'm coming from. But at the same time, I wanted to get the details right. Like, how many times did Abraham ask God to spare the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? What was the amount, final amount that God acquiesced to? These are numbers that, although those kinds of questions may seem, well, how the fuck am I going to remember that? If the story isn't written like a boring mess, you might be able to retain some of it. And, you know, one of the things that I want everybody to be able to do is to just mention the parts of the stories that, you know, stick into your mind that, you know, you just find this outrageous, because there's a lot to be outraged. I managed to find something to be outrageous about every chapter. Sometimes it's different, you know, like one time it can be just God's commandment to genocide, and the next it could be a prophet beating the shit out of some little kids because they're mixed race. You know, there's outrage everywhere in the Bible, and it's just, as long as you put in the work, and that's what I've done. And I think that when you guys see Genesis, or when you hear Genesis, because guess what, bitches, I'm also releasing the audio chapter for free to give you a taste, and that's going to be published on the Good Atheist podcast simultaneously
with the new podcast, I'm going to be starting the Jacob Fortan Show, which is not called that. Let's all agree it's not called the Jacob Fortan Show. But in any case, I'm going to be doing you're going to be listening to Genesis, and I think that you're all going to be really fucking excited by it. And that's not the only thing I'm going to do, actually. Because that while that would be fine, it would not be enough to excite people to say, listen, I need a bit of a refinance. I split up with my fiance, I'm fucking homeless, and I'm sick and tired of mooching off people. So, you know, I need that last bit, and here's 50 pages, because that's how long Genesis is. Here's 50 pages for free, and a few hours of audio stuff for free, just to whet your fucking appetite and be like, yeah, this book is going to really be awesome. And, you know, I underestimated its size, how much time it was going to take me, but I think that what will happen, I mean, if you guys are really going apeshit, I can even release more than just Genesis. I don't mind. Like I said, this book is going to be a beast. I had underestimated really the size of the project, but I'm still fucking committed to it, and I'm going to do this shit. I just want you guys to know what exactly is going on and why one of the major reasons for the delay, well, you know, is the loss of this art book, which I know. I'm beating myself up too. I'm a fucking idiot, but perhaps you can understand the extenuating circumstances. So I'm my apologies for not being able to make the deadline. But the good news is that you guys, even those of you that haven't even supported the book, are actually going to be able to get a taste of it to find out what the fuck is this going to be all about. Because I remember a few people had objections about the book, and you know, I always listen to my critics. And some of the objections were like, well, I felt like you weren't really accurate to it and stuff like that. And I mean, I took care of that. You guys will see. I am really fucking into the details. But I think I've managed to do everything, all of it in a way that you guys are going to find funny and entertaining. And enough that you want to flip the page and maybe if I'm fucking lucky, finish the book. You know? Because think about this. It's not just the fact that it's hard to finish the Bible. I mean, that's a given. But also, most people don't finish books. I mean, you know, maybe 30% of people finish books, if that. I know it's even lower for video game, you know. And I've read articles about producers being depressed, being like, nobody checks out our ending. And we work really hard on that, and not even half the people. Well, that's just, you know, in the world of endless entertainment, sometimes it can be difficult to finish all of the stuff on your, you know, already full plate. But in any case, I think that you guys are really going to, you know, you're going to fucking love it. You're going to freak the fuck out, and it's going to be everything you expected, and hopefully more. So that's coming out really relatively soon. I've already given the sample chapter to a few people. There's still, a bit to be done. I think I just need another week to finish it all up. And I want to release the audio version at the same time, which is what I'm going to be working on later today. But yeah, like this thing's happening and it's just going to be released. But again, like I said, there's been delays and it's been problematic. Now I want to talk about something really exciting that's going to be happening. Some of the other stuff that's going to be part of this new podcast, these new projects that I'm doing, because I don't want you guys to feel like all of a sudden I'm fucking disappearing off the face of the earth just basically because I'm hanging up the Good Atheist gloves. I want you guys to understand also why I'm hanging up these gloves. It's important because I think there's certain things even about the atheism scene that I've become somewhat disillusioned by, if you want. But that doesn't mean that I think that activism about non-belief is not important. It's just that my role in it has completely changed, and I don't want to have the same role anymore. I want to do other stuff as well. And some of the other stuff might seem completely out of left field for you guys. I swear to God. Like, I'm working currently on a TV show with a producer that I had already worked on a pilot before. I don't know if you guys ever saw the Fight Linker Unlimited TV show that we had done. It was pretty funny, and even if you don't like mixed martial art, you might find yourself surprised to get a kick out of the show. That was something we did years ago. And I contacted him again when I came back to Montreal. And I suppose overambitious me is like, well, I need a job, so why don't I just try to do a TV show? Yeah, because I'm just that delusional. But, you know, luckily, I've worked with this producer who has done TV before. And while we, I mean, it's a huge challenge just getting picked up on a TV show. I know, I mean, and we put the effort in before. But this time I went with something a little bit more popular, if you want, and a little bit more fun. You know, it's a cooking show that I'm basically filming. Yeah, I know, weird, right? And I'm going to be showing people how to basically cook with almost no ingredients, no tools, and the stuff I actually learned, really, when I was in Calgary. Because, you know, me and Carissa were pretty poor, and, you know, while the book did well, I mean, even in advance, you know, can go fairly fast when you're in one of the most expensive cities in Canada. And, you know, you're just trying to get by. I mean, I was trying to be as budgeted as I could, and that meant cooking with very little stuff and just trying to cook everything from scratch. I mean, like, I was making my own mayonnaise to save money, for God's sakes. But at the same time, I mean, like, imagine the flavor that I was able to kind of discover from such simple cooking really was something that I'm like, well, I saved money, I ate better, well, why don't I just show everybody else how to do that? So when I came back to Montreal and I pitched the show idea to my producer, along with a bunch of other show ideas, by the way, this is not the only show idea that I've had, he thought this one was the most feasible, and he was like, well, we can do it on the cheap, and which is always what's important. And that's what we've been doing, and we just finished doing some prelim filming for it and stuff like that. So there's another reason why the book is a little bit delayed. There's a couple of other opportunities, jobs, if you will, that I'm trying to get, and which I hope will also be able to show people the different flavors of things that I do, because even if no one picks up this TV show, I'm going to probably be filming it and putting it out there on the web anyways, because that's just what I'm going to do now. I'm going to be putting stuff that interests me on the web. JacobForte.com, and I've hinted at this before, is going to become the new hub. And that's why I was saying that the people who are the 300, the remaining folks, and even the folks who recently have, you know, who canceled their membership, and who personally messaged me and said, hey, look, man, you know, times are tough and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, you know, I totally understand. And you've been supportive long enough that I still want you guys to be involved and seeing some of the other stuff that I'm doing. So I'm going to be moving all these profiles over to JacobForte.com and showcasing all the stuff that I've done. I mean, most of you guys have never even seen half of the shit that I've done. You've never even listened to the hundreds of shows, other podcasts that I did with Ryan on Mixed Martial Arts, the TV shows, the web videos, the cartoon me and Jeff tried to make, like the limited cartoon, and all of those things I want to keep making, because my interests are varied. Can I just say that? And I think that you guys, when you listen to the Good Atheist podcast, you're going to find, not the Good Atheist, the Jacob Forte podcast, excuse me, not the fucking final name, but when you listen to that podcast, you're going to get a vision of all of those other interests that I have. And because I'm no longer the Good Atheist, if you want, I mean, I don't want to associate atheism with the things that I do, but I think that most of you will agree that if you're still listening to me after, I don't know, 6 or 7 years of stuff, many of you were like, well, I don't want to kick the habit. And maybe it wasn't so much a show about atheism that you guys cared about. It was just a show about general topics that I was interested in. And I'm going to continue to do this. I have no plans to stop. Like I said, my family members will be driven to insanity if I don't figure out some way to vent out my thoughts and to put it out there on the internet. Because, you know, if I don't do it, it's going to be awful. Now, there's the final, and this is probably, in my view, the most exciting aspect of everything that I am doing. Because while a TV show may sound really enticing and be like, holy moly, a TV show, is that going to get picked up and stuff? And I'm like, yeah, most pilots never get picked up. But in the actual feasible, I'm doing this not to have a regular 9-to-5, but as part of my bid, when I want to ask you guys to, you know, or not you guys, but people out there to help refinance the book, if you want, another pre-sale launch, if you want. The part of the pre-sale launch that I'm going to be doing is the one aspect of the original campaign that we were never really able to sell people on, which was the tour. And I realized that the reason why I couldn't sell you guys on the tour is because you have absolutely no idea what a tour would be like. So you got to show people what the fuck the deal is. So I've been talking with a friend in Washington, and we've been trying to arrange a one-time show that would give you guys an idea of what the tour would be like. So I would go over, and there would be part. It would be partly an interview. Part there would be some music. There would also be me reading from Bible stories and stuff like that. So there would be a variety show. And the first one, I don't know if we're going to have to charge, because I'm trying to do this all on the cheap. Again, I mean, my budget is pretty much fucking zero. But I found that you can actually do quite a bit with zero once you, you know, genuinely get other people involved and give them a stake in things. And this friend in D.C. definitely has a stake in whether or not this could work. And my bid would be after, my bid essentially would be the entire tour and saying, well, listen, I need to be refinanced. And if we can achieve certain financial goals, then I'll be able to take my tour to different areas. And part of the whole financing thing is that I don't want, necessarily want to tax my fans who've already given me so much. I mean, the people who pre-sold, I mean, some of them gave like, you know, $100 or something like that. And like I said, times are tough. I just think that there's a lot of people out there that missed out on the original pre-sale opportunity that might want to go again, especially once they read one of the sample chapters and see the tour, because the entire tour, my hope, the video, I'm going to film this and I'm going to show you guys what the tour is going to be like, and that's my bid. And I'm like, well, let's see how interested you guys are. And rather than ask you just to sort of like, well, cough up some money, I'm also going to be giving you guys some, not tips if you want, but it's the ability for you to make money, if you will. Like, for instance, I'll give you, you know, the copies of the DVD that you could sell. And then, you know, for like bootleg copies of the DVD that you sell to people that might be interested. And maybe that's the way, it's like selling chocolate bars, right? So we'll sell them on the cheap because they're bootlegs or whatever, but they're still, you know, like maybe we sell them for $5 or whatever, but it doesn't take a lot to suddenly start, you know, doing that. It's like a bake sale. Or I'll also release a whole bunch of t-shirt designs if people want to print them out and, you know, sell them and stuff like that if they think that a few people might be interested in those designs. So who knows? There's a bunch of ideas that I've been toying around with. And if you guys remember originally, I wasn't able to do the Kickstarter thing because my American partner was going to, you know, potentially lose some of her benefits if she would have accepted the transfer. But what's really exciting is that Kickstarter is actually going to start for Canada. So I get to, I'll be able to have both Indiegogo and Kickstarter under my belt if this works. Now, I want you all to wait until you read the chapter and you see the tour sample before you figure out whether or not I should get refinanced. And if it fails, then, you know, the 6-month thing doesn't necessarily change, but I'm just going to have to go out into the, you know, wider world and get myself a 9-to-5. That's not a TV show, unfortunately. That's something a little bit simpler, less creative, and, you know, potentially a lot less fun for everybody. But that will have to, that will be the reality at that point. That's my final bid and saying, like, listen, guys, I think I'm on the right track. I underestimated how much I needed, which is not uncommon in the world of business, especially when one goes through a very painful breakup and has to travel across the country and lives a vagabond lifestyle for a while. I'm like, I think I've suffered a little bit. And honestly, I can't even pick up another drawing pad until I have my own room, because, you know, working in, you know, living rooms or on couches and stuff like that will, I mean, it's fine for writing. I've done it all the time, but for creative endeavors, you need to feel like you're in your own space. You need to feel free and comfortable. And I'm just, I have not been able to feel that for quite some time. So my apologies again, everybody, for really underestimating the scope of things. But again, I think that, you know, 50 solid pages of free preview and in audio format as well will cure at least some of what ails you, right? And Jacob Forte podcasting is not dead. If anything, is going to be resurrected into a completely different format, if you want. The things that we're going to talk about are not going to be limited anymore. And for some of you who are listeners and who like the Atheism podcast, well, my apologies. I'm still looking, by the way, for someone who wants to pick up that mantle that everybody else would really enjoy. Because I don't think the conversation is necessarily over. It's just that the part of me that wants to have that conversation is dead. He just doesn't want to anymore. You know what I mean? I'm like, I feel like my part just has to end. And that my contribution to the world, if you want, has to be somewhat different. And I think you guys are still going to love this. I'm a creative, guys. I cannot help but do stuff. All right. That's never going to change. And for you 300 out there that kind of get it and realize that supporting me is to support all these other stuff that I'm doing, like the future projects that I'm just have on the burners, which is so I don't even want to talk to them to you guys about them because it'll, you know, that'll be too tantalizing or whatever, and I'll seem like a big jerk. No. But can I mention how exciting they are? I mean, I get the people that want to work on these projects are constantly sending me like, when can we start? And I feel like I should clone myself and be like, I wish I could just do more. Fuck my limitations. Fuck it. Okay, well, that was the state of the nation, everybody. I hope you weren't too bored by the show. I guess it didn't have any real atheism topics. Like you said, I'm kind of out of that business and still looking. So if you're out there and you think that you have the chutzpah or whatever to be, you know, the next good atheist and that people will like what you say, remember, it's a lot of work, you know. It was 300 episodes, constant research. And, yeah, it's like taking on a new job. And if you're an American, you probably already have two jobs. So I can't even imagine a third. So my call out there is for you Europeans who don't have to work as hard as our, buddies to the South. So yeah, please, stay tuned for all of the announcements. I'm going to be putting that up. Any of you out there, by the way, any of the 300 that can spare some time to help me with the website to make the final changes that I need, that would be greatly appreciated because I cannot devote too much time to this. Again, almost all of my time is basically devoted to the book at this point. You know, editing, re-editing. The second draft of a massive project is itself a massive undertaking. And as all of you know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I'm trying to get over that. But, you know, what can I say? I think you'll understand when you read Genesis. All right. Well, we'll catch everybody in, I think a few days because I think Johnny, Scaramanga wanted to come back on the show and I've managed to be able to borrow some recording equipment from a few friends. So hopefully we're going to be able to figure that out and have another show for you. And as soon as the audiobook version is out, it will be released as a Good Atheist episode. So don't unsubscribe from the podcast just yet. The podcasts are sporadic, but I'm still trying to fill in my shoes. And I hope you guys are excited for the Jacob Fortan podcast. By the way, I'm taking any submissions for a fucking show name because that show name is awful. All right. With that, my name is Jacob Fortan. Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.